Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If you don't want to leave the career you already have, but you just want to make it more fulfilling, listen to what Dr. Taylor Ryle, MD, did with her career. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Dr. Taylor Ryle, MD. Now, Taylor is a pancreatic surgeon. She's the chief of the Division of General Surgery and Surgical Oncology at the University of Arizona. And she's also a certified professional life and leadership coach. Taylor's passion is creating high performance through well-being for surgeons and physicians. So it's going to be a really interesting show today. And I want to first welcome you, Taylor, to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Lynette. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. And you know we start the show with a passage or two that is meaningful to you. So do you have something you'd like to share with my listeners?
Yeah. So, you know, I have two quotes. One is a foundation principle that I learned in my coaching course, and it's something I try to live by every day. And it says that every moment describes who you are and gives you the opportunity to decide if that's who you want to be. And so as I move through my days and I try to create awareness of how I'm showing up, I keep that in mind all the time. And the other is sort of a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt that says, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. So it always reminds me that, you know, only I can make myself feel a certain way and that I have the power to choose how I feel and how I think in every situation.
And, you know, the thing is with you, Taylor, that you had a very big decision to make in your career, because here you were a pancreatic surgeon and you were kind of being pulled in this well-being direction. But explain for everybody what your passion is and how it started.
So I was a pancreatic surgeon. I had a very successful academic career. So if you looked at my CV, I looked great on paper. And from the outside looking in, most people would think I had it all. You know, and I was checking off all the boxes. I was on track to have this academic career. But for almost 3 years, I was really teetering on the verge of burnout. I just felt like I was pulled in too many directions. I worked all the time, and I was just absolutely exhausted, Lynette.
Can you tell us, what does the life of a pancreatic surgeon or a surgeon look like? What does a day look like in that life?
I usually get up between 4 and 5 in the morning. I'm usually at work by 7. I like to exercise in the morning first. So
another one of your passions is you're another one of my passions. Extremely athletic, and you do triathlons and all sorts of fabulousness.
Right. So I usually get up at 4 or 5 in the morning. I'm usually at work by 7. On days when I operate, I'll be in the operating room for 6 or 7 hours, sometimes more, sometimes less. And that's usually 1 or 2 days a week. And other days I see patients in the clinic or in my office, you know, pre-op and post-op patients. I'm on call several nights a month where I take emergencies from the emergency room. As an academic surgeon, I do things like mentor people. I mentor people to learn to be surgeons. I mentor people in research. Now, as a division chief, I mentor the faculty in my division so that, you know, my success is really in their success, helping them achieve their goals. And you know, on average, I don't usually get home till 7 or 8 at night when I'm not on call. Oftentimes, you have to work on weekends. Patients get sick when they get sick, not on my schedule. So that's kind of what my life looks like. And, you know, you'll have a lot of things scheduled and then you get called for something, you know, a patient issue. And, you know, so you feel like you're pulled in a lot of directions. And that's fairly common.
You've been doing that for how many years now?
So I finished my training in in 2005, so 11 years in practice, but residency is probably even worse than being on faculty. So my residency was 9 years long by the time I did my fellowship and my research training and everything.
My gosh, that is amazing to have the stamina really just to go through that education process and then, you know, carry that out on a daily basis. So this has been going on for a really long time, and then you were verging on burnout. And so what happened for you?
So Lynette, I just felt like I was bad at everything I did, you know, which in retrospect obviously isn't true, but I felt like I was a bad surgeon, a bad investigator, a bad mentor, a bad teacher, a bad wife, a bad triathlete, you know, whatever, because I didn't really have time to do any of those things well.
Jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. Is that what you were feeling?
Yeah. And I would have these periods of time where I was okay. And then I just sort of reached this place where I wasn't okay anymore, you know, and coming to work was an effort and I could power through things, but I had basically lost all my fire and passion. I couldn't even really remember why I wanted to be a doctor, which is sad. And everybody goes into medicine at some level to help people, but I really started hating people. And I was just angry when my phone rang before I even knew what somebody wanted. And I just had nothing left to give. And I just really thought, you know, this isn't me, you know, this isn't the kind of person I want to be. And I had withdrawn from people, from life. I, you know, not only couldn't I remember why I wanted to be a doctor, I couldn't even remember what I liked to do. And it was a really dark place to be in.
What happened next then for you? What changed all of that?
So I think, you know, when I just reached that point where I thought, you know, this isn't the kind of doctor I want to be, and something has to change. And honestly, Lynette, I didn't know how to change it, you know, and I felt hopeless. Like, you know, I felt trapped, and I felt trapped in part by, you know, you train for 9 years and I was trapped by the lifestyle that medicine provides, and, you know, I have to provide for my family and things like that. And I also, like, surgical culture is kind of interesting, but, you know, nobody talks about these kind of things. And I felt like there was no safe place to say how I felt without being judged. And I finally, you know, even with my medical license, you worry that if you go see a psychiatrist or something that they would, you know, question your medical license, which is really discourages people from getting help when they feel like that. And so I actually found a sports psychologist in Houston who, functioned in my life as a coach, as a professional coach, and just really an amazing person. He was sort of the start of this whole thought process that brought me to where I am today, and to coaching, and to my new position in surgery.
I know that you and I have known each other for a little bit of time, and we don't know each other well, but I definitely, you know, was part of your coaching experience for a brief period. And I know that it was a big transition for you emotionally and physically with your career to say, you know, I'm going to take this kind of coaching methodology or philosophy and apply it to what I'm doing now and bring it into the hospital setting. Talk to everybody about what you went through during that.
Yeah. You know, so when I met Robert, you know, so he's actually a sports psychologist and he teaches high potential athletes to function at their very best through mindfulness and self-awareness. And he did a couple things, but he really gave me permission to have my own goals and dreams. And he made me believe that I could start to create the life that I wanted. And I think the one thing he taught me was, in this place of feeling hopeless, that in every moment I have a choice. I get to choose how I think and how I communicate and how I show up. And he made me start to see things differently. When he first started doing that, it was really an abstract concept and I didn't really know how. Like, I wanted to believe what he was saying, but I didn't really know how. And, you know, just sort of over time, I started to learn that. And that's what made me interested in doing what he does, you know, and becoming a coach. And that's how I found IPEC, where I did my coach training. And actually, my initial thought when I enrolled in January 2014, or actually 2015, was to leave medicine, you know, to leave medicine and to help other physicians who felt as burned out as I did. But as I went through the process and the coaching course really sort of, I mean, as great as it is that I can coach other people, I think it was the personal growth that was effective. And it made me see this possibility that I don't have to set down everything that I was before. I don't have to put that away, that I can do that in a different capacity. And I can bring these ideas into what I do every day. And I can be a surgeon and I can mentor other people. And I can teach this skill set that we're not taught as surgeons. And I can change the way that we develop faculty and the way that we train surgeons. And so that's sort of this big dream that I have. And, you know, with that came this new job opportunity in my current position where I'm actually starting to be able to do that.
Which is amazing. And listeners, the reason why Taylor is on the show today is, number one, I think what she's doing is great. And I think it's very eye-opening about, you know, what it's like to be a surgeon. I think all of that is really interesting. But, you know, Taylor and I were discussing at the start of the show how what she really wants to do is impact other people who are out there who can apply what she's done to whatever job they're in, whether it's the medical field or another field. Right, Taylor?
That's right. It's widely applicable. I coach primarily surgeons and physicians, but, you know, I coach people from all different walks of life who really want the same thing. And it's really to, as IPEC would say, to be at the cause of our lives and not at the effect of it. So just not constantly at the effect of things that are happening to me, but kind of going out there and creating the life and situation that I want.
Right. Using the expertise you've learned and gained and deserve to keep in your life.
Exactly.
So what do you think you've learned about yourself?
So I learned a lot of things about myself. When I started the process, Lynette, it was fascinating, like how many negative thoughts I had about myself and my ability. And it's ironic because I was successful, you know, nobody else would have thought that, but it sort of gets at my original quote of, you know, nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. And so I think, you know, I learned that I have a choice, that I get to choose how I think. And once I have awareness of how I think, I can actually change it. And I can change the way I think, the way I communicate, the way I show up, and the results that I generate just by changing my thoughts.
Now, what made you go into medicine in the first place?
I wanted to help people. From the time I was 4 years old, I wanted to be a doctor. Nobody in my family's a doctor. And, you know, I loved my pediatrician when I was growing up. And I just want to help people. You know, I wanted to make people better. And now I feel like I can take care of doctors. When I think of coaching, I almost think of like doctors are like my patients. They're the people I'm helping now. So, you know, and I'm still getting to operate and take care of patients and do what I love in that sense. And I love it again, which is even cooler.
What do you think makes you love it again?
My perspective. You know, so what's really interesting to me, Lynette, is that nothing in my environment changed. And in fact, you know, having moved from Texas to Arizona, my new job is way more stressful. You know, I have a lot more responsibilities. I manage a division of 15 people. I have patients in two different hospitals, which I didn't have before. But it's my belief that I can respond effectively and handle whatever situation arises so that when those stressful situations occur, I just respond totally differently. So nothing in my environment changed, but how I respond to it changed. And all of a sudden, I love what I do again. I'm still amazed by that. I think it's a remarkable thing.
I do too. And I think there's too many of us out there right now listening, saying, I don't like what I'm doing right now. How can I change my perspective on it? Now, I know you brought a resource that you can share with my listeners. What is that, Taylor?
So, you know, lots of resources. I have two books that I would recommend. One is The Happiness Advantage, by Sean Acor. And he really talks about positive psychology. So it's this idea of really scanning your day for the positive and not the negative. So, you know, for example, for me, I would come home at the end of the day and I would look at all the things I didn't do. You know, I didn't get this done. This didn't happen. I didn't do this well. And, you know, now at the end of every day, I look at the three best things that happened to me and just sort of constantly scan my day for the positive. He recommends journaling about positive things that happened in your day so you can relive those positive experiences. He recommends conscious acts of kindness. And I think all of those things really, when you constantly are teaching your mind to scan for the positive, that's really helpful. And I bring that to my job every day. An important part of that is this idea of really focusing on what I want and not on what I don't want.
Yeah, I definitely think that this is something that people can change about themselves. I think too often we're stuck in this negative rut where we always pick out the things, whether it's weaknesses in ourselves or weaknesses in others or what we didn't accomplish, instead of saying, wow, I got this done and that done, and it was so nice when so-and-so said this to me today, you know, positive interactions, or I felt really good when I did a great job on this and I was observed, or whatever it is. Instead of focusing on those positives, too often we focus on the negative. But I absolutely believe that this is just a mind shift. And with practice, everybody can do that.
Yeah. And it's amazing. Like when you start to do it, you realize how many negative thoughts you have. And you know, when I see that happening, I just try to correct it. I try to change the thought, you know, in real time. And that's really good. I think another resource that's been really helpful to me is this app called Headspace. I don't know if you've used it, but it's just wonderful. It's a meditation app by a guy named Andy. And he's actually a Buddhist monk, but he sort of teaches you to meditate. When I started doing it, Lynette, it was striking to me how difficult it was to spend 10 minutes, you know, just quieting my mind and being focused on that, just 10 minutes a day.
I started with Headspace also, and I thought the same thing. And you know what I would recommend to you that you try is Deepak Chopra. If you go to the Chopra Center, Deepak Chopra and Oprah, they have different packages. And there's a 21-day meditation. They do it free periodically throughout the year, but you can actually buy the program. I am a firm believer in this. It's a guided meditation, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it just sort of teaches me to be aware of my thoughts and to be aware of what I'm doing all the time. And what I found is that it has created space in my day, because when I'm doing things, I'm more focused on what I'm doing. So I'm more effective at it. So, you know, it'll take me half the time to do the same task because I'm not thinking about all the other things I need to do.
And that's the thing. It gives you this weird clarity. For me, it gives me that same kind of clarity that gives you focus. And then because I don't have all that noise in my head, I get all these amazing creative ideas.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because it's counterintuitive, because like when I get really overwhelmed and I think, oh God, I got to work faster, actually what I need to do is just stop.
Stop and meditate.
Right. And reset.
Okay. So here's the deal. This part of the show is Motivate Me Express to Success. It's quick 60-second responses. And what I really hope that we're hitting on today is for people who are at their job, they're not necessarily enjoying their job, and not like you, doesn't mean that they need to leave their field, but how can they take what they're doing and create something else that's more aligned for them in their place right now? So what can they envision? Because I believe to make change, you have to first envision it for yourself, explore what it would take, and then execute a plan. Like for you, Taylor, you envisioned yourself becoming a coach, and then you explored how to do that, and then you executed a plan by actually not only just signing up and taking a coaching program, but then applying it to the field you're already in. So when you did that, right, what did you see for yourself?
Well, I think the real key is to envision what you want and not what you don't want. And so, like, I think when I first started out, I could tell you what I didn't want. You know, I could tell you what I hated about my job, what I didn't want to do anymore. And from that place, I couldn't move forward. But as soon as I was able to kind of see what I wanted, then I could begin to explore it and move toward it. So when I talked to lots of people, that's exactly what I see. They tell me what they don't want, but they can't tell me what they want. So I think envision what you want.
That's amazing advice, because what's going backwards going to do? You can't, like you just said, you can't move forward with it. That's really great. So to explore then.
So then, you know, once you're really clear on what you want, you know, sometimes it's this big overwhelming picture. And so I think, you know, you sort of explore one part of that. So this is what I want in the big picture. So what's one small thing I can make, one small change I can make today, you know, to make that happen. So, and then you may have to explore those resources. So, you know, for me, it was coaching. It's hard for me to give specific advice to different people because everybody's wants are going to be different.
Right.
But, you know, sort of focusing on that one piece that you have control over that you can begin to change.
And then to execute a plan, what do you think a good first step is?
Something that's achievable. So, where I was like 2 years ago, there's no way I could have even thought about doing what I'm doing now. it wasn't even in my range of possibilities. So like I said, it'd be like that one little change that I can make this week. You know, I can do this one small thing and then sort of really committing to that. I just don't want to be specific because everybody's dreams and goals are different and you need to respect that.
Yep, I agree. And I just love so much how life can change so quickly. And obviously, for the better or for the worse. But like you just said, 2 years ago, you could not envision yourself doing what you're doing now, and you're so happy.
I am so happy. But it's like these little baby steps. And it's like, you know, along the way, you don't even know what's happening, you know? And so it's like these little steps add up, you know, you change your moments and you change your days and then, you know, and then all of a sudden your whole life is different.
It's crazy. And I love how it works. So closing advice for everybody, what is your final thought? How can you motivate them to get out there and do something that's more meaningful and more in line with who they are?
So just remember that in every situation, in every moment, you have a choice. You get to choose how you think, how you communicate, how you show up, and the results that you generate. You know, I really suggest going out and surrounding yourself with other people who believe that also. Because for me, that was the key, you know, just having these people around me who believe that they can do that. Remember that the only person's behavior you can change is your own.
Right. And so many people use not having a choice, not having choices as excuses. No, I can't do that because of this. No, I can't do that because of this.
Right.
Bottom line is, and I don't care what it is, and I know that you are super athletic and, you know, you could easily use excuses. I can't do a triathlon because of this. I can't work out today because of this. I mean, we could use excuses to prevent us from doing everything. But if we want change, we have to change.
Just little changes, you know, don't think of that whole insurmountable thing. You know, what's one little thing I can do today?
Right. I like that. So contact information. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
So they can contact me through my website, which is tailoryoursuccess.com. That has my email, which is taylor@tailoryoursuccess.com. It has my phone number on there and a little information about me. I do tweet at taylor.ryle.
So are you also on Facebook or no?
I am not on Facebook, Lynette, but I hope to be soon.
Okay. Well, when you're on Facebook.
My little step this week.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let me know because we'll make you a part of our private Facebook group, which is Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. And we'll make you a part of that so people can reach out there or you can let us know what you're up to on there. So we could also get you involved in that if you like.
That would be terrific.
This is the part of the show where we give everybody a go do. So Taylor, what do you think everybody should go do today to start moving in this direction?
Go and think about what you really want.
I like it. Go think about what you want, explore what it would take, and execute a plan. That's what we're all about. That's it for today, everybody. Please remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.